Chapter 50. 30 minutes before the Emperor's murder. The whole time Ianthe was leading me down those creepy rainbow-swagged corridors, Harrow, I was wondering what the fuck had happened to you. I'd been pretty convinced that at any moment I'd find myself floating back down in the water, and there you'd be, ready to save my ass from shaking hands with the Emperor of the Nine Houses. I'd never wanted to meet God. Nobody ever met the Emperor in any of the comic books. God only ever appeared as a letter to somebody getting written out of the story because they had to go serve the prince undying. I was irrationally convinced that the act of seeing God, that was the end of the story. Space was being cleared for a new character. We stopped before a totally nondescript door, halfway open. And I mean nondescript. The doors to the rooms of the Emperor could have been mistaken for broom cupboards, and Ianthe stopped dead. I cottoned on. That door wasn't meant to be open. Ianthe pressed a finger to her lips and noiselessly pushed that door further open. We crept into a dimly lit and equally boring little foyer, with another half-open door on our left into a weirdly familiar sitting room. It nagged at the back of my brain. I knew you'd been there, but it was strange how some memories were like my own and some memories were whispers through a hole in the wall. Tridentarius pressed herself up against the wall next to the sitting room so she could see through the gap, and I did the same because, yes, okay, pretty curious. In the room was Kithareia. Kithareia's body, her back to us. She had been neatly tied to a chair with a band of angry-looking tendon. I couldn't see whoever was talking to her.
"Not a difficult question," someone said without any particular concern. "It's not as though you have anything to hide. I just want to know how. Seriously, I'm more impressed than angry."
The voice was still gravel.
"I charge you with acts committed with intent to destroy, in whole or in part, the human race. Commander, for which the only sentence is death, repeated mass killings, the utter disintegration of institutions, political and social, languages, cultures, religions, all niceties and personal liberties of the nations by use of—"
"Commander, wake," he said.
It sounded like he scrubbed a hand over his face. There was a muffled exhalation.
"I've heard this all before."
"Call me by my full name, or don't name me at all. I'll be damned if I pass up the chance to hear you speak the words."
The Emperor of the Nine Houses sighed.
"Commander, awake remembrance of these valiant dead," he said. "All of it."
"I can't believe you feel you're in a position to demand things of me."
"All of it, Gaius."
There was the preparatory sound of indrawn breath.
"Awake remembrance of these valiant dead, Kia Hua, Kote, Pai, snap back to reality, whoops, there goes gravity," he recited, all in one breath.
"Correct?"
"They're dead words. A human chain reaching back 10,000 years, said the corpse. "How did they feel?"
"Genuinely sad, bordering on very funny," said God. "Can we talk?"
There was silence in that room. The tangled dead hair was very still. He said,
"You've been trying to commit suicide by cop ever since I found you, Wake. I know when someone's trying to get me to do something, and you're acting like a woman who very much wants me to end her life."
"Telepathy," she said. "Did the 10 billion give you that, too?"
"Wish they had," said the Emperor. "Wake, you're acting like your mission's over and you want me to take you out of the equation."
Silence.
"What was the mission?"
Silence.
"How did it end? What were you trying to do?"
"I'm not going to talk to you."
"We both know that's not true."
A tiny ceramic clink. The Emperor was probably having tea. Ianthe stared into the middle distance, packing herself as tightly into the corner as possible. We shared the corner with a white robe on a hook, and she actually wormed herself behind the robe, like we were playing hide and seek. So I did too, and had to watch whatever the fuck was going on through a thin veil of robe next to Ianthe, so please feel some sympathy for me here. He said,
Blood of Eden died with you, Wake. Any further action is just agonal breathing.
We both know that's not true.
You never would have fired nukes into my fleet.
Yeah, you know a hell of a lot about me, said the corpse, perhaps almost as much as I know about you.
There's a lot I don't know about you, said God.
There was a brief flash of him moving through the robes. He had stood. I caught an elbow and an arm holding a mug. He was leaning against some chair a little way out of sight.
There's a lot I want to know. Why the ninth house all those years ago, Wake? There's nothing there.
She was silent. The arm gestured with the mug and he pressed.
It took Gideon, still weird, 2 whole years to track you down and kill you, even making you his mission in life you had plenty of time to do some damage. Why waste your shot on my smallest house? If you'd dropped in on the third, you could have done some real damage. And it wasn't by accident. You skipped the dummy target in the atmosphere. You found the exact coordinates for the house.
A longer silence, he suggested.
Do you want to talk about that?
Silence.
You've been a revenant for nearly 20 years, Wake. It's extraordinary. You really are everything they said you were.
Silence.
You're not a necromancer.
Necromancy is a disease you released, she said. Necromancy needs to be strategically and deliberately cleansed.
Don't spout bigotry, Commander. I won't kill you for it, and it hurts your cause, he said calmly. I have access to any number of cute pictures of necromantic toddlers with their first bone. They don't make for fat-cheeked, roly-poly babies, but they've got a certain something, and nobody likes toddlers juxtaposed with cleansed.
How many babies died in the bomb, Gaius?
All of them, he said.
And after a moment, he resumed.
I'm not really interested in this particular game, Commander. Let's speed this up. You tell me the Thanagy link you rode to get here, because you certainly weren't in Kitherea's body back at Kanan House, and you tell me what you were doing at the ninth house 19 years ago, and I'll put you back in the river where you belong. Who's there?
I thought we were rumbled until the outer door swung open wider, damn near squashing me and Ianthe behind it. There was movement past us, a swirl of white fabric, and the little clink of God putting his teacup down. Stuck in the coat rack behind the door, we were left with a view of 2 people in stained white robes, quietly facing where God must have been. It was the lictor who'd tried to kill you, and the lictor who'd been afraid of my face. Everyone was silent. The whole room held its breath. It must have only been a second or two before the Emperor said urgently,
Number 7.
Number 7 can eat us for all I care, said Mercy Morn.
Her voice was quiet, the untrembling calm of someone who had done all their trembling already.
It's over, John. It's all come out. It took 10,000 years, but it's all come out.
No response. Everyone in the room was still as a mock-up in a doll's house. Then he said, as though puzzled,
What's all come out?
I suppose it would be disappointing if you made a clean breast of it now, said the lictor called Augustine after a brief moment. But go on, try. Confess and be the man I want you to be rather than the man you apparently are.
Look, I hate to be flip, said God, but am I in trouble?
The Saint of Joy sat down on the empty chair and burst into angry tears. She pressed her face into her hands and sobbed violently for something like 4 seconds, we're talking brief, and then she stood up again, having apparently gotten it out of her system.
Because this maybe isn't the time, he said, given that we've got
company. Again, thought we were rumbled, but he was just gesturing to the person in the body of Kithareya, still tied to the other chair. Both the lictors stared at her as though they hadn't even noticed her.
Mercy Morn the First, Augustine the First, meet Commander Wake Me Up Inside, sincerest apologies if I got that wrong, said the Emperor. Wake, Mercy, Augustine.
Oh, we've met, said the corpse with immense satisfaction.
Both Augustine and Mercy drew their rapiers with one long metal whisper. I couldn't see their faces. Next to me, I couldn't even hear Tridentarius breathe. Being lictors, maybe neither of us had to. I wasn't in a hurry to experiment. The voice from the other end of the room said, "Sheathe those." They didn't. Neither did they go for the shackled corpse. Wake. She had turned her head to look at them. There were petals in her hair. God said quietly,
"You've met, Commander. Can you tell me more about that?"
"I met the woman. I never met the man. She was the spokesperson for both."
Mercy said,
"It can't be. This can't be happening. This cannot be happening."
And the other lictor said, "It evidently can." And God continued,
"In what context?"
"They were working for me," said the dead commander.
Mercy Morn demanded,
"Are you flattering yourself or being wrong on purpose?"
The other lictor interrupted,
"Joy."
But she was saying wildly,
"Oh, let it happen. If this is happening, let it happen. We had a deal, Wake. Where the hell have you been hiding for 19 years?
"Where you fucking left me," she ground out. "In my bones, then a blade, in that fucking hole."
Augustine said, "Mercy, don't waste your time. If this really is the lady in question, then Gideon has proved yet again that he is unfit for any job beyond making simple gruels and stews." The figure in the chair strained at her bonds with a sudden animated violence that made each rapier in each literal hand flinch. The corpse said,
"You double-crossing bastards. You sent him after me."
"You knew he was coming for you. You'd spent 2 years dodging him."
"You didn't say he was 48 hours away and knew my target."
"If you were on schedule, it wouldn't have mattered. You failed to kill him the first time. You were a whole day behind with the delivery. Oh, and now I know why," Mercy cried out. "You broke with the plan, took things into your own hands."
"Necromantic wizarding fuck-up."
"So you did the worst thing you could possibly have done."
"I did what I had to do,"
bawled the figure in the chair. She sounded legitimately unhinged now. The mouth sounded gummy, as though fringed with flecks of spittle, but I was pretty sure corpses couldn't do saliva, so...
"I did what I had to do when the dummy ones died, even though you dried-up liches didn't give me the first fucking clue what I was really doing. Checking for life signs, retrieving a sample. If I'd known then what I know now, I would have just shelled the place."
"Now it comes out," said Mercy. "Now I am afraid it all comes out. You would have, wouldn't you? And when you swore that you'd help evacuate the houses, you never meant that either, did you?"
"Stop," said God quietly.
And everyone stopped.
There was a flash of, I don't know what. If it was necromancy, it was of a kind I'd never felt before. It was too sudden, more taste than theorem.
There was this citrus taste in your spit. Everyone shut the fuck up, which, as spells go, was probably pretty useful.
He said, "Wake."
"Yes."
She sounded irascibly eager, breathless to match her actual breathlessness. There were hard fuck you edges to her voice.
"Will you answer my question now? Why did you go to the ninth house 19 years ago?
To break into the tomb."
There's an emotion that isn't fear, an
And I wish someone would come up with a word for it, Harrow, because right then I sure as hell didn't have one. It was this sense that started in the balls of your feet and moved right up through your legs to your spine, and I felt it in your hands. I felt it on your tongue. I felt it go chattering up the back of your head. It made your scalp softly fuzz over with electricity. Maybe there is a word. Omen.
But you can't get into the tomb.
God sounded genuinely interested, but in this deeply casual way, as though he were hearing the result of a competition. It was the interest of someone at a party hearing the end of an anecdote.
Not without me.
The corpse was grim.
I came armed. It doesn't matter what you came armed with, Commander.
I had the baby, said Wake. The baby I'd had to incubate myself for 9 long fucking months when the fetal dummies these two gave me died.
Oh, God. It was yours, said Augustine in horror. I thought you'd used in vitro on one of Mercy's.
I said they all died, said Wake. The dummies died. The ova died. Only the sample was still active. No idea how, considering it was 12 weeks after the fact, but I wasn't about to look a gift horse in the mouth.
So you used it on yourself, said Augustine. Anything for the revolution, eh, Wake?
Are you judging me?
Only your intense self-delusion.
I always see the job through.
Wake sounded bored.
You sent me out there to kill a baby and open those doors. Whose baby didn't matter on my end. I carried that thing under my heart, threw up every morning that first trimester. Felt it kick, had to induce labor and give birth in a shuttle alone, knowing by then that Gideon was catching up. Do you know, I gave that thing a nickname my whole pregnancy. I used to call it Bomb.
Anything could have happened then. 1,000 futures stretched out in front of me.
Okay, let's get this straight, God was saying. You brought a baby you'd made inside yourself. Well done, that's the classic. So you could, what, kill it and create a huge Thanagy cascade at the door.
I wish Harrowhark were here. It would do her good to know there are more people in the world with an imagination like her parents. But you're not a necromancer. You couldn't have manipulated the Thanagy burst. I mean, it's appalling, but it would never have worked.
While he was saying all this, someone else had stepped into the foyer. It was a man who looked like he had been stripped bloody by a wind machine and hadn't healed up all the way. A wiry, knuckled-up tendon of a man, with the face of someone who had been starved once and burned recently. Joining the growing line of antiques on board this place, there was a gun holstered at his hip, and at the other hip, a plain rapier with a basket hilt and a piece of fraying crimson ribbon tied to the pommel. His clothes were stained with green slime, and so was the scintillating white robe he wore, hood up over his head. He closed the door behind him and turned to look at Ianthe and me, with that weird, scratched-up face and those dark eyes, and I knew that we were now well and truly rumbled. He swept aside the robes. He looked at us, Harrow. Then he made this weird, half-grimacing, excuse me expression, and he reached forward. I was so far fucking gone that I didn't even flinch as he slipped the sunglasses off your nose. He slid them over his face, and then he let the robes drop back over me and Ianthe, and he walked straight into the shit show. Augustine lifted his head and he said hoarsely, Gideon? The woman I was pretty sure was actually my mother, wearing the body of a woman I'd had a crush on, who in turn had been wearing the identity of a woman she'd murdered until I fell on a spike so that my boss could kill her, craned her head around in her bonds.
Harrow.
I will never forget the look on her face as long as I live, or as long as I die. For the first time she smiled, a small, dusty, crooked smile that was totally alien to Kitherea's mouth, which had smiled at me often, but never like that. It was the smile for your old cellmate who'd just landed back in prison, the one that told them at least you were in it together. Or more correctly, the smile of someone stepping out of jail after serving a very long sentence, having seen someone there waiting for her. Someone whose presence meant total reprieve. Someone she hadn't expected. It was a little bit mocking. It was deeply relieved. It was a smile that said, "You came back for me." The lictor who'd taken my shades pulled the gun out of his belt before anyone could stop him. He briskly closed the distance, pressed the barrel up to the base of Kitherea's skull, and he pulled the trigger. There was a wet sound. The body jerked and its head lolled out of sight. God exploded.
"Gideon!"
"Wake," said Gideon. The second. First. As though that explained everything. There was movement. Then God said sadly,
"Damn it, Gideon. Her ghost's completely gone."
And Gideon said,
"Good."
Augustine said urgently, "Number 7.
"Got away."
"What? What, it ran? You got it to run?" When this was not met with details, Augustine said, "But you lived?" Mercy Morn said,
"That's not important right now. I don't care about number 7. I want Gideon to hear this too. I want him to know what Pyrrha died for."
Now, finally, the Emperor came into view. He calmly sat down on the chair that Mercy had vacated, in front of the headshot corpse that was still tied up opposite. He looked like anybody. His hair was cut short, dark brown, with no different highlights in it. His face was long and square and ordinary, and his eyes were just absolutely, insanely fucked up. Deep black wells, this unreflective flat black. Even from where I was, I could see the white light that circled the irises, a cold flickering perimeter. At the moment, he had his chin rested on his balled together fists, his elbows set on his knees, and those whites had lighted on Mercy.
"I think you're skipping ahead in the story," said God. "I think you're glossing over a part. Because you think it doesn't matter? Are you embarrassed? Gideon, were you aware that when you let Commander Wake get as far as she did, to the House of the Ninth, to one of our own houses, our own people, that she was pregnant?"
A pause.
"I was aware," said Gideon, classic. "Why the hell did you not tell me?"
"Because I thought it was mine."
There was a rising call of dismay from that whole room, a sort of strangled "yuck" from Mercy Morn, and exhausted, was it a laugh from Augustine? Who was laughing in this eerie, humourless way, this huge, tired, exhausted laugh, until he had to press his face into his hand? Even then, he didn't quite stop. And Gideon Senior said,
"Forgive me, John. I didn't know anything about it."
Which I would have thought was a weird thing to say if I hadn't been too busy staring at Kitherea. The Emperor said,
"I've made mistakes too, Gideon, but you could have told me."
And Gideon Prime said,
"I didn't know to."
How long had that been going on?
Nearly 2 years.
After a moment, he added,
"It was complicated."
I'll bet. So the plan was to kill a lictor's baby, said God, marvelling quietly. A lictor's infant child, barely born, to start a Thanagy cascade. It was a hell of a plan, but both of you knew it never could have worked. Surely you knew it couldn't have worked. Augustine, for fuck's sake, have a cigarette, you're getting hysterical.
The noise Augustine was making was nearly laughter. It was nearly not laughter at all. The saint of patience snapped in pure agitation.
Stop kidding yourself, John!
Everyone's being very opaque today, said God. You know we know how the blood ward works, said Mercy Morn. She did not sound hysterical herself. She had swapped roles with Augustine unexpectedly, and now sounded measured and calm, nearly dreamy. You never kept it secret from us. I always thought it was a little over the top, teacher. You were always so fussy about never bleeding. But Cassiopeia told me a very interesting thing about blood wards once. She always said that they should really be called cell wards, because they work off thalagetic enzymes, which can be spoofed with a substantial thanergy burst and the blood of a close relative, a parent, a child.
The Emperor said, as though speaking to a kid, and how would you ever?
And stopped.
And he said, Mercy. And he said, Augustine. And he said, Mercy. And then, Augustine. I wouldn't think about the practicalities if I were you, said Augustine, extracting a cigarette. He tucked it into the side of his mouth. He was pretty good. His hands weren't even really shaking. It's not worth it. But it was only the once. Yes. One evening planned down to the ground for 500 years, said the saint of patience. He lit the end of the cigarette. Dios apiti major. We needed your, genetic material, and it was the only way. It was the first time Joy and I had been in the same place for 10 years. You were so damned careful, John. No vulnerabilities, no lapses. You'd have become paranoid if we'd gone a second round. Good Lord, it all sounds so coarse. I imagine I might be hurting your feelings. God, I hope so. Right now, I find I hope so tremendously.
It's impossible. I won't believe this. How could you even...
Mercy Morn, said Augustine matter-of-factly.
I didn't even...
Mercy Morn, repeated Augustine. He took a drag from his cigarette and said, Sorry, Gid. Didn't actually want you to know all the scummy details. Sig?
I'd kill for one, said Gideon, original flavour.
There was more silence in that room as the saint of patience lit another cigarette and passed it to the saint of duty. Kithere's empty corpse lay still and silent in its chair. The Emperor was staring at the crown of her head, probably where the bullet had exited, which I could not see. The other lictor leaned against the wall, staring into a shuttered window.
So what? Said the Emperor. Gideon, you tossed Wake out the airlock. She and the baby died en route?
No, said Mercy Morn thinly. It didn't.
I pushed out of the robes. Ianthe tried to reach me. I slapped her hand away. It was 7 steps out of that little foyer to the centre of the room where the Emperor sat. I stood, breathing hard, my battered two-hander clutched in your hands, not knowing what to do with your arms and not knowing what to do with your face. There was this huge, insane roaring in your ears, like close-up electrical static, and it was like I was watching us move from outside, as though we were both out of the driver's seat, Nona Jesimus, and someone else was in there. But nobody else had their hands on the controls. It was just me. Everyone turned to look at us. Nobody said a word. I stood behind the chair with the dead body in it, a dark hole at the back of its neck. The cigarettes made thin grey ghosts curl up toward the light. I said. The world revolved. I'm not fucking dead, I said,
which wasn't even true. And I was choking up. Everything I'd ever done, everything I'd ever been through, and I was choking up.
And the Emperor of the Nine Houses, the Necrolord Prime, stood from his chair to look at you,
at me.
Looked at my face, looked at your face, looked at my eyes in your face. It took maybe a million myriads. the static in your ears resolved into wordless screaming. His expression was just gently quizzical, mildly awed.
"Hi, not fucking dead," he said. "I'm Dad."